Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hey, my name's Simon. I'm part of the Global team. And it is my distinct pleasure to bring you a couple of reflections in the scriptures, and I'll be looking specifically at the book of Deuteronomy. No doubt your favourite book, that's why I chose it. Let me start my first one by reading from you Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 9 to 18. I always like to read the scriptures out and let them speak for themselves as well. At that time I said to you, I am unable to myself by myself to bear you. The Lord your God has multiplied you so that today you are as numerous as the stars of heaven. May the Lord, the God of your ancestors, increase you 1,000 times more and bless you as he has promised you. But how can I bear the heavy burden of all your disputes by myself? Choose for each of your tribes individuals who are wise, discerning, and reputable to be your leaders. You answered me, the plan you have proposed is a good one. So I took the leaders of your tribes, wise and reputable individuals, and I installed them as leaders over you, commanders of thousands, commanders of hundreds, commanders of fifties, commanders of tens, and officials throughout your tribes. I charged your judges at that time, give the members of your community a fair hearing and judge rightly between one person and another, whether citizen or resident alien. You must not be partial in judging. Hear out the small and the great alike. You shall not be intimidated by anyone, for the judgment is God's. Any case that is too hard for you, bring it to me, and I will hear it. So I charge you at that time with all the things that you should do. Clearly, that's Moses speaking to the people. What struck me as I was reading this was the fact that aside from the fact that Moses revealed the law and the will of God to the people, and you would have thought that was enough, but there's more. His other major role was bearing the heavy burden of their disputes. I thought that was fascinating. In that list of what God spoke to the people through Moses, he says two things. He talks about the word of God being presented to them, and he talked about the heavy burden of their disputes. And people don't often think of that was his other major issue. His other major role was disputatious humanity. And he called it a heavy burden. So you realize that wherever there are people, there are going to be disputes that need resolving. And whether the people are the people of God or otherwise, humanity equals conflict. And it's probably unwise of us to hope for some glorious day, except in the consummation of all things by and from spoken of in the New Testament. But except for that, it's unwise for us to think that we will have no disputes. There will always be disputes. In regards to that, one of the funniest things I thought that the great pastor Yonggi Cho from the massive church in Seoul, Korea, he's reported to have said when his church was at its numeric zenith that he rued the fact he couldn't have his own police force because he had up to 800 to a million people that were considered communicative members of his church. He said he wished he'd had a police force. Why? Because amongst a million people, there are some pretty serious crimes at times, yes, even amongst the church. And he would have loved to have had a police force to both arrest and to deal with the disputes of his people. Now, of course, he never got that wish, but that was what he had rued that he couldn't have. So what a sad indictment of our humanity, that we are naturally disputatious, and we need others to adjudicate, as it appears that we're incapable of impartiality by ourselves. I cannot be impartial about what affects me. And that's why you have to have judges that bring judgment to bring an adjudication between warring parties, because they stand back from the feelings and they look at the facts to the best of their ability. But even those judges, Moses was very clear, they had to be impartial, they had to be just, and they had to never take bribes. And that's where our legal system often gets into terrible problems by partiality, by the fact that money wins cases, by not being just, and by some even taking bribes. So that's why you always need to adjudicate the adjudicators. Or we could look at it another way. What tremendous wisdom that this was recognised and provided for, ensuring justice in the community, and how comforting that the judges had to fulfil certain ethical criteria to keep them beyond the accusation of partiality and corruption. Little wonder Moses said these words, "What other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law?" Do you know, a lot of Western law and Western justice is still premised upon Mosaic justice, particularly the Ten Commandments. It's staggering, isn't it? After all these years, nobody's really come up with anything significantly better. And that's partly because God revealed it to him, and partly because human nature essentially doesn't change. Then I want to go down to some thoughts to look at the New Testament and how we can look at this through New Testament eyes, because this does exist in the writings of Paul. So just to recap, Moses said that his other great burden in life, not just of giving over what God said to her, but to adjudicating disputes. I mean, you would have thought he would have done something else, like spend his time on architectural wonders, and or maybe on writing philosophical pieces, or on being or creating great musical pieces. Or these are all valid and high culture issues. But no, Moses said his other major role was dealing with disputes. Get 1 million people together, or 2 million people together, there's going to be fights. There's going to be fights. And one of the most remarkable things is that, referring back to that, we see the writings of Paul. And he wrote in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 to 8. And this is like a little bit of a, how should I say it? It's a little bit of a wake-up call to God's church, this, to each one of us. And he writes, "When any of you has a grievance against another, do you dare to take it to the court before the unrighteous instead of taking it before the saints?" Then Paul says this throwaway line that's staggering. "Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases amongst one another? Do you not know that we are to judge angels?" Enough, it's just the world. Angels, to say nothing of ordinary matters. "If you have ordinary cases, then do you appoint as judges those who have no standing in the church? I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is no one among you wise enough to decide between one believer and another? But a believer goes to court against a believer, and before unbelievers at that. In fact, to have lawsuits at all with one another is already a defeat for you. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? But you yourselves wrong and defraud, and you do it to believers at that." And just to add to Paul's writing there, they did it by going to unbelievers to adjudicate between them. And Paul said that mocks the name of God, that very great prayer that Jesus told us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, gets ruined. The hallowing of God's name gets hammered every time we take our dirty laundering to the world against each other. Today we do it, of course, on Instagram. It's much easier. But in those days, they went to courts to fight against each other. Paul said, "You've already lost the battle." If we're to judge the angels, he was at odds to know why they couldn't resolve disputes amongst themselves instead of appealing to the Roman courts. And that's an indictment upon the spirituality of God's people, which really is no spirituality at all. Because spirituality is practical, it's reasonable, it's impartial, it's peaceable, and it's merciful, so say James, or so said James. Taking believers to court was seen by Paul as a defeat already, in light of the above, that is, judging angels. And he said they were better to be defrauded than parade the failings of the church to the courts, which is advice seldom heeded. Do you know, it's rather Paul saying there, you are better have lost out than to, you are better to have lost out personally than to ensure the church before the public is it loses out. so that the reputation of God's people is once again mocked and belittled. He said, rather, you should be defrauded. So that means when a Christian has a case against a fellow Christian, this is talking about in God's church together, then number one, we should be providing people who can both judge and bring legal perspective. And it's interesting later on that Moses said that they were to appoint judges and officials. And the part of the issue in all of that was that not just judges and officials, but people who were like lawyers and people who were priests. That's what he's saying. So you bring the sense of a legal, because legality matters in our communities, and you bring a priest or a man or woman of God who brings a sense of the wisdom of the scriptures and the wisdom of the spirit to that issue. And between those, you should have a very good resolution tribunal. But no, we go to courts, we fight each other, and we once again mock the integrity of the holiness of God's name. Oh, that we could learn to handle disputes amongst one another, and then that we could accept the findings of those disputes rather than asking for is there somebody else up there, a second opinion. So they're just some thoughts from that particular passage in Deuteronomy chapter 1.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram @C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.